Dear Chicago. Drove to Chicago.
Ain't in camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl champ. And we're
Fullerton is next. Doors open on the left at Fullerton.
How about Chicago? I could be there.
Welcome to Foul Monkeys, everyone. This is Ricky.
And this is... Chan.
Slot machine.
Slut machine.
Slut machine. You're a slut machine.
I'm a slut machine.
Welcome to Foul Monkeys. We record out of Chicago, Illinois. The Rogers Park area, or Royers Park, or also known as Deep Cavernous Asshole.
A.K.A.
This is
me.
Your Ricky. This is Ricky, the host of the Foul Monkeys for almost 10 years.
This is...
And this is Slut Machine, who's been slutting it up for a year and a half.
Almost two. God. Oh my God.
Welcome, everyone.
We're coming closer to our break.
I know, right?
Kind of looking forward to it.
We might get there one day. So before we go into anything, I want to say...
You just did jazz hands, by the way.
Jazz hands.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Respect.
Respect. I just want to say hi to a few people from Twitter that has been talking with us. We have Charles S. We have Terry. We have Robert from Australia. We have We have a new listener from Bogota.
Can I get some of that Coca-Cola?
We've been watching Narcos.
From Medellin.
We've been watching Narcos, and one it's all the- there.
Best shows ever.
Did you watch it?
I watched the whole thing. I binged it.
Let's get into it.
Let's get real into it.
Girl.
Crazy.
So good, you guys. You have to watch it on Netflix. It's all subtitled. It is so fucking good, though.
You know, one of the things that I really liked about the show is that they had real Latinos working there. So when they were speaking in English and going into Spanish, like, or they would say the Spanish name of something, mm-hmm. they would actually say it the way it's said in Spanish as opposed to watering it down for American viewers,
right?
Which I like, because
which they also did with the soccer one, the Club of Crows. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't seen. Is that a Netflix one too?
Mm-hmm. And it's all Latino. And there's one they called the Pony. And guess why?
He hung like a pony.
Girl, he can't wear shorts.
Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about. He's like a straight, and he has a huge uncut dick.
Yeah.
Huge.
Just, it flashes on every episode.
Yeah.
But Narcos is really good, but it's very interesting because that Pablo Escobar and stuff, that whole thing happened when I really wasn't, I don't think, old enough to know, like, to watch the news and stuff, because it happened in the 70s, but he died in 93, so I was, like, in ninth grade, I think. So I really wasn't, although I don't remember if mm-hmm. I saw it. But it's interesting, the stuff that you learn about him. But we've been watching another series about him that they've done, and this is like real people. Like, the actresses are thick. It's like straight up like real people. Like, they don't dress fancy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like...
Wait, are you talking about Narcos or the...
No, not Narcos is good.
Yes.
But I'm talking about another series that was based on Pablo Escobar also.
Which one?
It was done in 2012. It's in Spanish. In English, it's called the bad boss, or the mean boss.
Okay.
But Tony will tell you, because we're in the middle of watching it. We're on like episode 70.
Oh shit. It was kind of like a novella.
He said it's like a series, like it would be for like a nighttime series here. Same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's good, and it tells a little bit more into his personal life than what Narcos really goes into. But Narcos is not done. I think they're doing another season.
Yeah, they've already signed on, I think, for seasons two and three.
It's so good.
It's such a good show. Like, I mean, even though you... And I do think that they do touch a little bit on his personal life. I don't think they go too deep into it.
Well...
Because I don't Narcos, have a reference, but they do right. they do have a... They touch on it pretty good.
But in Narcos, they make him... And, of course, right now, where we are in this one season, in this one series, mm-hmm. goes beyond what Narcos has gone. So we haven't seen that part in Narcos. But in Narcos, he's not as... He doesn't question anything. He's just like, kill a person, and he does it. You know, there's no like feeling there. There's right. no remorse right, of what right, he's right. doing. In this other series that you're watching, you start seeing, you know, some he, sort it's of hard remorse. For him to make some of the decisions that he's making.
Oh, really? Yeah. Because his reign of terror?
It's bad. I mean, you haven't seen anything yet. I mean, on Narcos season one, there's so much more that happens after... In the real timeline.
Right.
That it's so good, you guys. I can't say.
I'm going to have to find. Like, is it on Netflix? It.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, great. Because yeah. I'll have to watch it. No, because I haven't. But I mean, I do know a little bit about him because I was Latino. And so that was kind of like, we knew about that stuff. I mean, you're connected. A little. My Coquina. Mom. My mom, when she used to work as a bartender, she worked at a Colombian bar. And so she knew people from Medellin and Colombia and Bogota and all that. And I mean, I don't know if they were necessarily connected to Pablo Escobar, but they all did that shit. Right. So I'm sure that there was some sort of, down their line, there was a connection of some sort. But so we knew all that stuff.
Y'all, he was literally making $20 million a day in the 80s.
Yeah. That's insane.
$20 million.
Yeah. And dollars, not Colombian money.
Right.
Dollars.
And he was on the Forbes 500. He was one of the top 10 richest people in the world.
Yeah.
I mean,
but you know what's
shocking?
Funny?
What you see, how much money
he Oh, yeah. made. And he buried a lot of it.
Yeah. Like, and that, not all of it has been found.
Right. But you know what's funny is, I guess what's not that it's funny, but I guess what's sad is that. In Narcos, you don't know, you don't see the change of when he became evil. Because initially, he wasn't necessarily like that. Like, he just wanted to do good for the people.
And he started off small.
Right.
And then
it became greed. Big.
Don't give away too much, because I want people to watch it.
Yeah.
But this guy from Bogota, I mean, maybe you could tell us a little more.
Yeah, if you know. But
with pictures.
Well, I've seen some
of those guys are really hot. I'm just saying.
Like the cocaine line and the cock. Yeah, mm-hmm. We get it. We get that that's where you're going. Just say it. I do have to say, though, like, it is, like, growing up with a lot of my mom's friends who were Colombian, it is, like, they would tell stories about, like, you know, they're like, it's really sad because it could be a pretty place, but a lot of the time it's not. It's so fucking dangerous down there. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's kind of
so you want to go on vacation?
Yeah. So it's like, it's like Mexico. Like, there's certain parts of Mexico where it's really dangerous. Like recently, what is her name? Landry. I can't remember her first name. She's the Doritos girl, the model. Like, her husband is Mexican, mm-hmm. and his dad and his brother were in Mexico, and they were kidnapped and killed. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, so it can be that dangerous. And, you know, I a lot of people have told me that a lot of Colombia is a very dangerous country. And it's riddled with poverty. I mean, it's because people
and corruption.
There's two. There's nothing in between. There's you're either poor or you're rich. And if you're rich, you will eventually become poor because
it's kind of like
gonna
that
want,
in a lot of the world.
But, yeah,
I mean, it's sad because, well, in this series, not Narcos, but the other one that we're watching, you see a lot of that because they actually film in the actual city, like the towns. Oh. So you actually see the poverty of the people that live around in like real life.
Yeah, that to me is very like, ugh,
but you guys get into Narcos. It's really good.
Yes. So I want to send a shout out to two peeps.
Okay.
Ryan and Lewis. You all know who you are. Anyway,
do I know him? Have I seen a picture?
Yes. I'll show you
a picture. Oh, I know Louis. Ryan.
Yes. I'll show you a picture of Ryan.
Okay.
Hi, cutie. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Is it an upstairs picture or downstairs picture?
I will have to tell you that later. Oh. Because I don't think you... I'm not going to share the picture. Just rest assured. I'm not going to do that. But
so it's a downstairs picture.
It's an up and down. Oh. Up and down. Ryan, please rest assured. I'm not showing your pictures to anybody. They are mine.
Womp, womp. Or you could just send them to me too.
Right. Anyway.
Because I'm married, but I'm not dead.
Yeah. That's the name of your book.
That's not the name of my band.
So this show will come out on Thursday, which is a day before the Queen releases her new album. I'm so excited.
So next Friday it comes out?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm super duper excited. I literally want to take the day off so that I could just like cry at home.
You will be up at 12 o'clock
though, downloading you it. Damn Skippy. I'm going to be like crying in the fucking bed.
My friend Gigi went to go see her yesterday or the day before yesterday.
Yeah. And what did she say?
She said it was good. She said she didn't play a lot of her new stuff, I guess because that's not out.
Right.
But
She does play four songs, though. She plays Burn It Up, which is the current single that was released on Friday. And she plays After You Fall, which is a slow song. And then she plays another song called Should Have Known Better. And then Unbreakable, which is another song that was downloaded free when you... pre-ordered the album.
She said it was really good. She said there were tons of lesbians and tons of gays there.
Oh, I'm sure.
She said there were gays like
galore,
80 deep on each side.
Yeah. Of her. Did she go to the Orlando show? Right.
I think it's Tampa.
Tampa, yeah, because that's the last one.
St. Pete. I don't know.
Yeah, it's somewhere. It was in Tampa. There. Yeah, I think. Because the show that she's performing tonight is in Atlanta, and then she's on break for a couple. Like I think. She's on break, I think, for like 2 weeks. So, like, you know, to do promotional stuff, I think, for the album since it's been released on Friday. I don't know if she's going on any shows because, of course, she's been fucking super secretive about everything. So, no one knows if she's going to end up on, like, GMA, Ellen. Like, right. No one knows that, you know?
It's really weird to me that stuff is released on Fridays. I mean, I know.
Right, because we're so used to Tuesdays.
Yeah, it's like.
Globally now. Like,
music came out on Tuesdays, movies and stuff came out on Thursdays.
Right.
Is the movies and stuff moving to Fridays also, like DVD releases and
stuff?
I don't
know. I think so. I think the reason why they did that, it was to prevent leakage, like, you know, stuff. I do have to say that it is fucking commendable that her album has not leaked yet. At all. Like,
do you think it will before it's released next Friday?
None of the singles, nothing. Not even Burn It Up. Like, it was all... Thursday was when they released it to play on radio.
She called Madonna and was like, girl, tell me everything you didn't do.
Right. No, she called Madonna and she's like, sorry, boo. Mine is coming out on Friday like it shouldn't. Click. Bloop.
That's why you take a 7-year stint.
She literally, like, it's amazing that the album has not been leaked thus far, because, you know, usually most artists, with the exception of a few, I mean, like Beyonce, I think the reason why her stuff of hers was starting to leak, but her full album that she released, she didn't, I mean, because no one knew.
I don't think
was,
any songs were leaked
from there were a few that were leaked. But they were like really rough cuts of the songs, kind of like the same thing that happened with Madonna. Mm-hmm. But then she kind of reworked them so they were completely kind of almost to the point where they were different from what they were originally.
Did you know there's a new Selena song out?
No.
Yeah, it's not a professional recording. It's a recording of her practicing the song as she was on the road. And I was reading an article that the parents are going to release it. It's not a professional
voice. It's like in a recording studio.
Yeah, it's not in a recording studio. It's just her singing the song,
just practicing,
which I think is interesting.
Oh. Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's like the same thing with like Amy Winehouse. Like, they, you know, they destroyed all the recordings that they had so that they didn't make any money off of her. But at the same time, it's like, that's kind of like the gift to her fans. Like,
Selena didn't even have time to make extra songs. You know, like Mariah Carey, I'm sure has hundreds
of songs
that, you know, all these huge people,
like the same thing with Michael. Like, I mean, Michael, Michael Jackson would record upwards of 125 songs in one recording, like not in one recording session, but like in one stint of recording an album, mm-hmm. he would record almost 125 songs. Now, not all of them were, complete songs, but a lot of them were.
And doing hee-hoo for 3 minutes is not a song.
Right. Did you ever hear the.
I haven't heard it yet.
Oh my God. It's so weird to listen to that. Because he's like, it's all his ad libs and stuff. But it's commendable that her, but it also kind of like, don't you kind of think that it shows a little, I think what it kind of shows to me, which is what someone said on Facebook, is that the people that surround her really respect her enough to not do something like that to her. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like.
Well, the same people that are around her have been around her for 7 years that she hasn't been working.
Right.
So, I mean, it would be to their advantage not to leak the information.
Right. Because so. I just find it, and I remember like when she, like, I remember what they were saying that Jimmy Jam released, like, not a statement, but just kind of was like, they were having an interview and they're like, oh, you know, how do you guys deal with leaking and all that stuff? And he was like, honestly, he's like, this is, you know, and he had a picture of like a hard drive. He's like, this, I walk with this. I come into the studio with it. This is what I do. When we're done, I leave with it and nobody has access to it but me. And so if, like, you know, Jimmy Jam or if Terry wants to record, obviously they're always recording together. So they're always, you know, mm-hmm. it's only when he's there. So I kind of think that that's really very, like, interesting, but smart at the same time. And I think Madonna, when...
That's probably how everything starts out, but then...
But see, that's what Madonna said. That's what Madonna said, because she said the same thing. She's like, yeah, you know, usually there's... I only have access, like, one or two people have access to the hard drive. And she's like... But she said that eventually something happened where there was more people...
But people also hack shit. I mean...
Right.
People do that for a professional living. So, I mean... It could be totally anyone in the world that's not even related to the project at all that takes it. But
I don't know. I mean, I think it's really interesting, though, that her, I mean, that her album, none of her singles have leaked prior, you know, and anything that has come out has come out.
Watch after that we record this. We look online. Like, it's all leaked.
I know. It's all leaked. I mean, I do have to say, though, that the people that, like, so there are Canadian fans that were already getting emails saying that their stuff was shipping. So there probably some fans are going to get it like a day or two earlier, which is fine because then
you mean like the physical CD?
Yes. That makes it eligible for, the Grammys. Cause that's what the whole thing was. It's like, we're releasing, you know, her, like the team that she has with BMG and her own record label. They were saying, we are making the deadline because this album is, we feel that it's that good that we want it to be, you know, nominated for Grammys and stuff like that, which, whatever. Grammys and any kind of award show nowadays, it's not based on the merit of the musician and the quality and all that. It's popularity, whatever. And the same thing goes for, like, the Emmys and things like that. But it's just really interesting. I just find it very... It's one of the... It reminds me of when she said a long time ago, she's like... I think it was right around the time, like, all that stuff was happening with Britney Spears and... You know, she was having her public meltdown and whatever. And she was saying, she said, if you really want to go unseen, she's like, you can. And I am a firm believer that if I'm not entertaining that and I want to be unseen, I know how to do it. I don't need to go to a mall and make a spectacle. I know how to do it so that I don't bring attention.
Online shopping.
Right. Right now, right?
And she lives in Abu Dhabi. It's not like... Whatever.
Right. And, you know, and that's funny because my coworker who used to be a boss of mine, you know, he is in the Babais and he has frequented places where she is also frequented. And, you know, they say, like, you know, it's not a big deal. Like, you know, she comes in very unassumed. No one, you know.
I always think, like, people, like, let's say American country music singers, like Reba McEntire, Faith Hill, like even the men also. Like, I know they're known worldwide, but do you think they, like when they go somewhere like Paris, do you think that Parisians know that who they are? As opposed to someone like Janet Jackson or Mariah Carey, who, I mean, is really known around the world. Do you think it's the same thing for like country stars?
In country stars in general, I think, well, first of all, I personally think that country music is a very American thing. I don't think I think country music may translate to something different in other countries, like mm-hmm. their version of country music. But I think our country music is a very American thing. I think that there are probably fans who, but I don't think they get the same
reaction,
unless paparazzi makes it that big.
Taylor Swift.
Right. So,
well, for example, she was a country star and now she's a pop singer, star.
So. But see, like, for example, like when like people in California, like actual Californians and residents from California, like they don't like my friend Jay, when he used to live in California, he's like, no one cared. He's like, I could see Tori Spelling going to the Starbucks in my neighborhood.
Well, let's be clear. No one cares about her.
At the time, she was much more famous than she is now. But and the same thing with like Britney Spears. She'd walk into the Starbucks at in Brentwood, which is a high end neighborhood in California, in Los Angeles, and very unassumed. Like no one cared because that area was much more like, it wasn't frequented by paparazzi. So that what he would say is the only time that it became such a like a big hoopla thing is if paparazzi was there. That's when people, so if you were to go to like to the promenade in Los Angeles in Santa Monica, it's like paparazzi could be anywhere and it becomes crazy. So like I remember when we went to the last time I went to Los Angeles, we met my sister at the Santa Monica Pier, my friend
Oh my God, I went there. Like, I have a horrible story.
Oh, it's a janky ass area. But we went there, and so we were walking back to because we were going to go get something to eat. And who do I pass? Like, literally, Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rosio. No one was following. I mean, like, their bodyguard was kind of like way back, and, you know, they were with their kids and very just kind of like nothing. Like, no paparazzi, nothing. People were walking down the street and didn't even know who they were.
And she's from California, too. So she probably knows how to she knows where to go, you know?
Yeah. Like, well, I think they were headed towards Santa Monica Pier because we were coming from there and they were walking in that direction. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, it's one of those things where, again, you could tell she was Gwen Stefani because she had glasses on and she had her hair pulled back. And Gavin, I think he had I think she had a hat, a regular hat, and he was just like had his hair. You could tell that it was them, and they were with their kids. Nothing.
No one knew.
And so I think, like, you know, when I hear Janet say something like that, I always think of, and the reason why the album hasn't leaked as of yet, like, I think of that. Like, I think of her, she knows what she's doing, and she knows how to make sure that, you know, it doesn't get leaked or whatever. So.
What do we think about Sia's new song, Alive?
It's very good. I think her vocals on it are really, like, they're really good.
When I listened to it, I could tell.
Oh, you could tell it was a song for Adele. Like,
yeah.
As soon as the music started, I was like,
Adele.
This was totally for Adele. Like, mm-hmm. Didn't she write it with her?
They both wrote it together, and I think there might be a recording, but then Adele decided not to use it, and then it was offered to Rihanna, and Rihanna didn't take it. So that's when she was like, well, I'm glad. I read an article that she was glad. She had like a seller's remorse. She was like, oh, thank God they didn't want it, because she wanted to record it for herself.
But she wrote it with Adele, right? So
She wrote it for Adele as if it's like Adele's life.
Right, right, right.
And it was meant to be for Adele. Is she the sole writer? Well, she was, and then when she offered to Adele, I guess maybe there was some, like, switch-ups with things or something. You know, there's just one switch by one person. Mm-hmm. Their name gets attached to it, so.
I know, because when I recorded my song, like, the producer, I still haven't copywritten it because I have whatever I knew his name to be at the time as that, but I can't, if I were to copyright it, like, I'd have to put that mm-hmm. and then I would have to say, you know, credit goes to that person mm-hmm. but like I could not say that I wrote it by myself, even though 99% of the song mm-hmm. I wrote it myself. Like, it just sucks because he helped change a couple of the lyrics and added some stuff, and you know, and he has to get credit for it.
I thought it was pretty good. I liked it.
I liked it. It wasn't, I didn't, I was, it, her vocals are, I'm always blown away by her vocals. She sounds a lot better than she did in some of the other stuff she did with her album. Like, it's, she's a little clearer, mm-hmm. and her voice isn't as raspy.
She also does that thing where she puts like three words into one syllable kind of thing. Like,
Janet.
You know, yeah. I'm like, wait.
What?
That's like three words.
Oh, yeah. The first time I listened to Burn It Up, I was like, what the fuck is she saying? I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, and the infinite mumble of Janet Jackson continues. Like, I just like, I'm like, I. She, because she's one of those that tries to fit. And I will tell you, it's, it is like.
I think a lot of people do it.
It is very difficult. I'm a very wordy person. And even when I write my songs, And even when I write my songs, like, I use tons of words to describe what I'm trying to, like, what I'm trying to emote or whatever. And sometimes it's, I have to condense it because it doesn't fit in the fucking bars. And it doesn't sound right, you know, adding three words into one, like, bar.
Girl, so, you need to use some adjectives.
I know, right? So... But
I'm just excited because it's rumored that Adele's album is coming out in the middle of November, and I'm super excited for it.
I'm ready for her to come out with an album.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be sad or what, but...
I hope it's super sad, like, she wants to kill her baby kind of thing.
Oh, my God.
It's horrible. Because no one likes a happy Adele. I mean,
well,
please. But also...
Pink, I mean, she's a perfect example of that, like... I mean, her music has definitely changed from the first time that she came out.
She doesn't use curse words anymore.
No. But, I mean, you know, I love Pink.
Another song that came out this week was Sam Smith's song for the new James Bond film.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
I liked it. It's...
I wasn't blown away by it.
You know what? I don't like when they include the James Bond theme into the songs.
Oh yeah, dun dun.
Yeah,
dun,
dun, I don't. Dun. I mean, it's okay, and I guess that's what the tradition is.
Yeah,
but like, I know when Garbage did the song, I don't recall Bond stuff being.
I think it was in the very beginning or the very end. Usually, that's where it happens. Because like, I know when he did, like, when Madonna did the song, her. I think it was included in the end part of it. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't included in the single. I mean, it was just recorded as that. But
it was good. And I'm kind of surprised that, I mean, I know his album is fairly still new, but I'm surprised he's not working on something new yet. But of course, he's busy getting skinny now.
I know. Kind of looks like a bobblehead. But
it's cute. But it was good.
Released, I liked another song. I mean, I know you don't really care for her, but Sarah Bareilles, she released her... So she did a play. She did the score for a play on the movie Waitress. So the musical is called Waitress. And the movie is...
Is that the one with Jennifer Aniston?
No, it's the one with Keri Russell.
Oh.
And the song... I heard her perform the song in one of her concerts. And the song is just... I mean, it's... She is... If I ever had a chance to write with her, that she would be one of my like top five people to write with, because she is a type of person that really kind of pulls out that she can, in words, she knows how to express what she is feeling. And that song in particular, based on the movie and the play, like, it's a perfect song. Like,
Tori Amos too came out with, she wrote a play also, but most of the songs that are sung are by the actors that are in the play, or the musical.
Mm-hmm.
But she does have a couple songs that I think she sings for it, but they haven't been released yet. But I kind of want to. I wish I could see it. That would be cool. But
what was the name of the play?
It's in England.
Oh, got it.
It hasn't come here yet.
Sarah Bareilles is releasing. She was, instead of recording a new album, what she's doing is taking songs that she hasn't had released, and then taking some of the songs from this play, and she's releasing it as a package for her fans or whatever, and it's coming out in November. The song is called She Used to Be Mine. It's a really great song. I mean, it's absolutely, and her vocals are just gorgeous. I mean, I think she's just a really
Is she a lesbianese?
No, she's straight. But she's just, this musically speaking, she's very gifted.
I don't think I had anything else. I want to talk about how excited I am going to Red Lobster tonight.
I don't know if I can vouch for that. However, how about we talk about, what was I going to talk about? I had something I wanted to talk about. God damn it. Anything in the news that you wanted to touch on?
Not really. I don't know.
How about Kim Davis renounced the Democratic Party? She now switched over to the Republicans. Oh,
of course she did.
Yeah. She was like, oh,
I don't care about that bitch anymore. I'm like, she's going to end up doing her fucking job no matter what. She's like acting like she's rebelling, but no, bitch. The shit's still legal.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what you're doing. You're still doing your job no matter if you say, no, I'm not doing my job.
So do we know anything as updates? Because now I feel like all of a sudden it just died.
No, I guess they're taking her back to court because she removed like all the stuff from
right, because she basically committed a crime by removing all that stuff, right? Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's a crime, but she did what the judge told her not to do. So I think she's going back.
Okay, two things. So I'm going to go see Madonna on Monday. Really excited about that. I'm excited because I have really good seats, and I'm taking my mom. My mom's going to see Madonna for the first time. She's never seen her live, so it's kind of exciting. That's the first thing. And then the second thing, so I was looking up when you sent me that message about J-Lo having a sex tape being released. Yeah. So apparently, like, this has been being toned, it's been toned around for a long time. I think like 2007, maybe. But from when I was, the article that I was reading yesterday, it's not really a sex tape. It's more of her like frolicking and in some, according to the article, like
or something,
compromising positions where you see like her ass and her tits or whatever. But like, it's not like pornographic per se, because it was all in her honeymoon with
her husband was hot.
Yeah, but he's a fucking douchebag. Like, why would you do that? Like, that's the thing I don't understand with like entertainers, like, and the people who they marry and they get divorced from. Why would you want to do that? Like, I mean, I don't understand. I mean, maybe that's just because like I would never do it myself. Like, I, you know, if I marry somebody and I get divorced from them, that's done deal.
The cover of J-Lo's porn, it should have the picture of Mariah Carey that's holding the sign that says, I don't know her.
Yes. It should, because that would be amazing.
I don't know her.
With J-Lo in the very bottom corner, like, you're fucking desperate. Dude, she offered you money to shut the fuck up. Why don't you just take it? You're fucking greedy. Like that, I don't understand. Maybe why people do that.
He's probably a Kardashian.
Oh, speaking of that, I was watching they did a 2020 special on the OJ Simpson tapes. You know, when he was sued in the civil suit, after he was acquitted from the first trial, the federal trial, I think, or the state trial. But anyway, so, you know, I guess there was like a deposition that was recorded over a course of like, I think they said like 4 or 5 days, or like almost 2 weeks, I think. Mm-hmm. Not altogether, but that long. And I mean, just like, it was so fucking sad, like, to see the, you know, Ron Goldman's family and then like Nicole Brown and like just how much they fought to like make sure that their name wasn't in vain. You know what I mean? Like, it was really sad to watch that because they were like, you know, they were showing parts of like the trial and how like there was, you know, stacks and stacks and stacks of, you know, evidence that all pointed to him doing the crime. And then what the lawyers did is that his team of lawyers, what they did was instead of defending him against that, they defended him against the fact that there was so much corruption with the police and that there, you know, the police,
well, Mark they Kirkman fucked and all up them, a lot of shit.
Right. And then, so that was their sort of defense was, you know,
they may have done it, but you can't prove it.
Right.
Because that was destroyed.
Right. And so it was really interesting to see that that is essentially how he won. And you know what's funny? So they, you know, because Kris Jenner was married to Robert Kardashian, he was one of the lawyers on his team, and he was also OJ Simpson's best friend. And when they read the verdict, Kris was like, oh, she's like, when I, you know, when I was at home watching this on the TV and I saw the verdict, I saw his face.
All I knew was money signs.
No. Shut up. She's like, I knew that he was
guilty.
Surprised that he was found guilty, that he was found innocent. Because, I mean, and you can see when they're like, you know, we, the state of California, defined defendant Orenthal J. Simpson not guilty. You could see Rob Kardashian's face like, what? Like, how is it even possible?
Then she saw money signs.
And then she saw money signs. And then she saw Caitlyn Jenner.
Right. Pretty much.
But anyway,
with
so.
A C.
Right. But it was just really, it was a really good, like, piece that the 2020 did. Because it just kind of like, I mean, you could just see like Ron Goldman, like his dad and stuff. Like, you know, he was just like, you know, Nicole, her name was, you know, like she had a name and Ron didn't throughout the entire trial. He was just as the other person who was murdered. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we wanted to make sure that he was not forgotten. And we also wanted to bring justice for both him and Nicole because we felt they didn't. And so she was like, when he was finally arrested for his robbery attempt or whatever.
The one in Vegas?
Yeah, the one. Like, girl, he gave
like the
jankiest dude, when they were doing the tapes, like when he was doing a deposition for the lawyer that was helping Ron Goldman and his father, he was literally the guy, the lawyer was like, so, you know, you don't see the bruises on her face? No. And they show the picture and you can see that she had bruises and scratches and stuff. So you don't see anything on the picture. And he's like, well, I see some stuff up here on the top. But he's like, but that could just be the picture. And then they move forward. And then he's like, so you never. So the handprint that was on her neck the night that you had a domestic violence scene. She's like, what happened? She's like, he's like, I don't know. He's like, I mean, I could have possibly grabbed her neck, but I didn't. Like, you're like, I mean, you're watching this, like, and you're
bitch,
like,
you're guilty.
You're fucking guilty. Like, and that's what he was like. And throughout the whole entire questioning process, he was trying to like trip him to see. And then this is where they had, like, they struck gold with the evidence. In the civil part, the shoes that, you know, how the shoes were kind of, the shoes and the gloves were sort of the biggest things out of the thing. So, you know, they were like, oh, so you had these pairs of shoes. These were a size 12. He's like, these are not your shoes. And he's like, nope. I'm never wearing them. He's like, those are ugly ass shoes. I would never wear them. He's like, why are they ugly ass shoes? He's like, because aesthetically to me, they're ugly. And he's like, they're ugly ass. I would never wear them. He's like, okay. The lawyer kind of leaves it at that.
Picture of him in shoes.
How about 50 fucking pictures? Because he did 50 fucking appearances. And every one of those 50 fucking pictures, he had them ugly ass shoes on. And that was it. That's when they were like, and the thing is that the lawyer didn't tell him that they had pictures of him, more pictures. They showed him one picture, and his face was like, and you know, you can see it on the videotape. And he's like, what do you see? That's on my coat. I didn't wear that coat. The lawyer's like, but it's in your picture. He's like, well, I don't remember wearing that coat. He's like, what else do you remember? Can you describe the pants? He's like, okay, they're pants, blah, blah. He's like, oh, and look at the shoes. And he's like, I don't remember wearing those shoes. I wore some different shoes. He's like, but what's in the picture? I'm like, and like on and on. And then that's when they discovered that he had worn those shoes throughout 50 appearances. And that's where they were able to catch
him. Two old fags talking about shit that happened 15 years ago. Actually longer than that, 18, 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So let's go.
Okay.
I was getting a little hungry.
You getting a little hangry?
Yep. Bye, y'all. This is Ricky. And opposite of me is the
Slut Machine.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Foul Monkeys. We really appreciate your feedback.
Please visit us at foulmonkeys.com or call us at 863-666-0377.
You can follow us on Twitter by following @FoulMonkeys and visit our Facebook page by visiting facebook.com/foulmonkeys and make sure you like our page.
You can also listen to us on Stitcher Radio, Rainbow Radio, or iTunes. And if you really love us, leave us a review on iTunes. And if you really hate us, or no, just hate us.
You hate us.
I mean, yeah.
How about Chicago? I could be there.